It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, coast to coast and around the world.
Mr. Secretary, you have just testified to the American people you're incompetent at your job.
From the America Out Loud Talk Radio Studios, it's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
The January 6th committee is being exposed now for their one-sided theatrical play they called a hearing. We all knew it the whole time. We saw the sham that was the Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer fake kidnapping that the FBI orchestrated. That happened before the election of November 2020. Remember that? The FBI had some of their guys recruit some Michiganders that were tired of Governor Whitmer's COVID tyranny. Remember her shutting down the state, and then her husband went to the lake and took their boat? No one else could go to the lake, but her husband could. Well, those FBI guys planned the kidnapping of Whitmer, and then they solved that plot, and they arrested the Michiganders that they had recruited to do the plot of the kidnapping. The FBI stepped in at the last moment to stop that plot and the Whitmer kidnapping, which was never going to happen to begin with because it was all entrapment. You remember that happening? That's how our government has been working and was working going into the election of 2020. I'm Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud. And thanks for being here and listening to this program and being on AmericaOutLoud.news, sharing all of those programs and podcasts. This hour is brought to you by Goldco. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out more about buying precious metals. That's BookerLikesGold.com. Well, I bring up that Michigan case because I think it's important to understand how the feds worked in that case, to be able to understand and see how the Fedsurrection of January 6th, 2021 happened. In that Michigan case, several of those recruited Michigan guys that I talked about, well, they have been exonerated in court, while a couple of them have been found guilty. The FBI man in charge of Michigan at the time, specifically the FBI director of the Detroit field office, was Stephen D'Antonio. He wasn't there long. I think he was there 1 year. I think October of 2019 to October of 2020. 1 year is the only time he was there. Guess where he went after that? Well, he was moved to the Washington, D.C. field office to run that at the beginning of October 2020. It's an important fact. We'll get to that in a little bit. About a month before the Biden-Trump election in 2020 is when he went to Washington, D.C., which gave him 3 months before the January 6, 2021 Fedsurrection. You have to wonder if 3 months was enough time to create that insurrection, and I put quotes around that. We remember everything that happened there on January 6, 2021. And don't get me wrong, regardless of what you think about January 6th, there are grandmothers serving time for leisurely strolling through the Capitol because they were let in by Capitol Hill police. Ashley Babbitt was killed. There are still Americans being arrested every week in this country for doing nothing more than taking a walk in the people's house, the Capitol, when they were let in by Capitol Hill police. And don't forget journalist Steve Baker of Glenn Beck's The Blaze Network that was just arrested 2 weeks ago, and he was put in leg shackles for reporting from inside the Capitol. That video was going around. I played audio from Steve Baker himself just a couple of weeks ago. That video showed him inside the Capitol with his phone up, filming, videoing people walking in, and he had a notepad in his hand. He was reporting news from inside the Capitol. He has now been arrested. They want to keep him quiet. This isn't new news to you, what I'm telling you, but I think it's important to remember all of this, and I want to make sure to lay some groundwork for the story that I'm about to get into. I mentioned Stephen D'Antonio of the D.C. field office. Let's go back to a Senate hearing. Almost 2 years ago, 2022, April, Ted Cruz was questioning FBI Director Christopher Wray.
In Michigan, that case ended up an absolute debacle where the four people who went to trial, two of them were acquitted, two received mistrials. None of them were convicted on even a single charge, and the basis of the defense was entrapment, that the FBI, that paid enforcements for the FBI, had suggested and had incited the conduct. Let me ask you, how many FBI agents were disciplined or reprimanded after that disastrous case and the misconduct that led to every defendant being acquitted or having a mistrial on every charge?
Senator, I can't comment on any personal matter. I can tell you that that case, as I understand it, is now pending a retrial, as I understand it.
Well, the special agent in charge of that case has now been sent to D.C., to the Washington, D.C. office, and now leads the investigation regarding January 6th. Is that correct?
That doesn't sound right to me.
That does not sound right. The name of the individual is Stephen D'Antuono. He was run out of the FBI Detroit field office. And by the way, I will point out that the lead investigator, Special Agent Track, are you aware that he was apparently fired for allegedly beating his wife after coming home from a swingers party, and he'd made multiple derogatory political posts about President Trump showing political bias? Are you aware of that?
I am aware of, I think, the incident you're describing and action that was taken about it. To clarify on the first part of your question, Mr. D'Antuono was the special agent in charge of the office, the Detroit field office, and is now the assistant director in charge of the Washington field office. I thought you were asking about the agent who was responsible for the
incident. So the guy in charge got promoted and is now in charge of the January 6th investigation.
The guy in charge of the whole Detroit field office is now in charge of the whole Washington field office.
That is astonishing.
Okay, stay with me here for just a few minutes. I'll get through this. But before I leave Michigan altogether, you just heard there that Ted Cruz brought this up, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about this, about the FBI agent in that case that was arrested. That is Richard Trask and his wife. Both of them attended a swingers party at a local hotel. Apparently, he got pissed off at her for not enjoying the party, and when they got home, he choked her and repeatedly slammed her head into a nightstand. She was bloody and bruised, and since then, he was arrested, and eventually, he pled no contest to an assault charge, and he was sentenced to 2 days of time served. He had a fine, and he promised he would never, ever be a law enforcement official in the state of Michigan. Now, back to D.C. and the Fed's erection of January 6, 2021. This story started circulating last week, and I wanted to get to it then, but it was a busy week. You had the Supreme Court, and then you had the State of the Union with Joe Biden. Of course, as I mentioned at the beginning of this hour, the theater that was the January 6th hearings were no more than that. If you remember, there were only 18 million viewers of television the very first night of that, and then it went down to 11 million viewers, and then after that, it was fewer and fewer. The only people that were watching it were the people that were already convinced anyway that it was an, quote, insurrection, unquote. The entire thing was a sham, and it was a shame, actually. It wasn't about truth, it was about a narrative. They only wanted to tell you one side of a story. They wanted to paint a certain picture. From the very formation of the committee, it was rigged. And I don't like the word rigged, I think it's overused, but that's what this was. Remember, Nancy Pelosi wasn't going to allow people like Jim Jordan on the committee. And then Kevin McCarthy said no Republicans would be a part of it. And that's when Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger kind of went around McCarthy. They both volunteered and committed political suicide. Their time in politics is over now. But here is what is coming out now about some testimony to that committee that was omitted from the hearings, from the public hearings, and even worse, it was omitted from the report. Donald Trump has long said he made National Guard available to the mayor of Washington, D.C. I've reported on it. I've had it on my show before. He made the National Guard available to both the D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, and also the Capitol Hill police. If you remember Kash Patel, he's a great patriot and was part of the Trump administration. Before that, he was the brains behind blowing up the Russian collusion fake story when he worked for Devin Nunes in the House of Representatives. Patel was chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller, in the days of January 6th, and both of them testified behind closed doors at the January 6th committee, and their testimony was buried. Here's Patel about the meeting that took place in the Oval Office with Donald Trump.
I was in the Oval Office on that day, days prior to January 6th, with the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and others, and President Trump. And he authorized, as the law requires, 10 to 20,000 National Guardsmen and women to be utilized around the country. But the second part of the law requires a federal agency or governor or mayor, such as the United States Capitol Police or Mayor Bowser, to make a request. Otherwise, the National Guard cannot be deployed legally.
So what has happened? Why is this a story now? Well, Molly Hemingway came out with an incredible story on March 8th in The Federalist. And it has really, in my opinion, it has blown the cases against Donald Trump wide open now. And I'm talking about the Jack Smith cases. I'll get to more of that in a few minutes. Cash Patel went on the Steve Bannon show, and here is what he had to say about what Molly Hemingway wrote. And I'll get to what she wrote in just a few minutes, but here is Cash Patel.
The genesis of the mainstream media's Get Trump narrative has been insurrection in court and insurrection in the public media view to kneecap Donald Trump. What just happened is Molly Hemingway's great reporting broke a critical piece of evidence that destroys the insurrection narrative. The January 6th committee withheld and suppressed a transcript from a senior Secret Service officer that completely corroborates what we have said on your show and what we have been saying for years. Me, the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, and so many other officials, that days before January 6th, Donald Trump authorized 10,000 National Guardsmen and women. Multiple people testified to that, including me, in front of committees and grand juries under oath. But the mainstream media hid it, and the committee suppressed Tony Ornato's transcript, and it just came out thanks to Molly Hemingway, corroborating everything we've been saying. Liz Cheney and Adam Schiff buried this exculpatory evidence of Donald Trump.
I don't know if you saw, but over the weekend, Liz Cheney melted down on social media. She went berserk, and that came out after the report of Molly Hemingway, and she started to defend her position, Liz Cheney's and the January 6th committee, that they withheld that evidence that exonerates Donald Trump on January 6th. And I'll get to why this is so important. But the January 6th committee went so far to falsely claim they had no evidence to support Trump officials' claims that Trump had offered those 10,000 National Guard troops. And in fact, you just heard Cash Patel there talk about the source that was suppressed. All the other people that had testified that also were suppressed, they were just footnoted in the report. They weren't public hearings. They were behind closed doors. That part of the narrative they didn't want you to hear. But yet all of those people were very close in Trump's orbit. Maybe they had a reason to lie for Trump. I mean, someone might believe that. It was Mark Meadows. It was Cash Patel. They were very close in the orbit. But this new source wasn't. And he was suppressed also. From Molly Hemingway's great article detailing this on March 8th, Deputy Chief of Staff Anthony Ornato's first transcribed interview was January 28, 2022. He swore, and this was under oath, that he overheard Chief of Staff Mark Meadows push Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser to request as many National Guard troops as needed to protect Washington, D.C. He also testified that Trump suggested 10,000 troops would be needed to keep the peace at public rallies and protests scheduled. That's what Donald Trump said, according to Ornato. He also testified that the White House was very frustrated with the slow activation of the Guard by Christopher Miller, who was the Secretary of Defense. All of that was taking place on January 6th. Hemingway reported that not only did the committee not accurately characterize the interview, they suppressed the transcript from public view. Why in God's green earth would they do such a thing as that? This was about the truth, wasn't it? That's what the whole purpose of the January 6th committee was? Getting to the bottom of it? Wasn't it? Ornato, he was a career Secret Service pro, assigned to the White House, and that's why it's important. He was not within that Trump orbit. He had no political reason to lie under oath, and he didn't. But why is Liz Cheney? She says, look at the report. But Hemingway points out that the transcripts of fewer than half of the 1,000 interviews that the committee claims to have conducted are available to the public. That little number is available for us to see. There's no telling how many interviews exonerate Donald Trump. This is just one. And why did they cherry pick? And this is where I think the new information is so important. If Donald Trump wanted an insurrection, why in the world would he offer 10,000 National Guard troops to protect the Capitol? And why would Trump and the White House be angry at Christopher Miller for not deploying the Guard sooner? You see that? That makes no sense. If Donald Trump wanted an insurrection, he would have never called for the National Guard. He wouldn't be upset at Christopher Miller for not deploying them quicker. He would not want them deployed at all. Trump couldn't have incited a riot and insurrection on January 6th and at the same time protect the Capitol. So that part of the story had to be buried. The public couldn't know about it. The bigger question now is, what about the court cases? Even though insurrection hasn't even been charged, the actions of Donald Trump have been judged in the court of public opinion. The narrative has been pushed by the mainstream media. The lie has been repeated. So to me, these court cases by Jack Smith, they don't have a leg to stand on now. Of course, the Supreme Court has these cases held up and we'll probably won't know anything until June or July of this year. And more than likely, these cases will never go to trial before the November election. But when they do, how can any judge or jury make this simple question make any sense? If Trump wanted an insurrection, why did he want 10,000 troops at the Capitol on January 6, 2021? And why did he get upset when deployment didn't happen soon enough? It blows the entire narrative. It blows their entire case. Moving Stephen D'Antonio, the Detroit FBI field officer, where he ran the fake kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer, to the D.C. field office where the Fed's erection took place and then this cover-up sort of makes a lot of sense now, if you want to be honest about it. And that's what we do here on The Truth Be Told. If you listen to the show a lot, you know how I feel about our government and our financial system. So it's no secret, I'm a big believer in diversifying your money with precious metals like gold and silver. But when it comes to buying precious metals, you need the right company in your corner. That's why I've partnered with the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, because reputation matters. Goldco is a six-time Inc. 5000 winner, 2022 Company of the Year, and they've helped people like you and me place over $2 billion in gold and silver. And right now, they're offering my listeners up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account. That means a 401k. This is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control corrupt government. Don't pass it up. Grab your phone, take your keyboard, whatever you need to get the job done, and take action today. Go visit BookerLikesGold.com. That's BookerLikesGold.com.
More truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
At the beginning of this year, AmericaOutloud.news took on a new look. Have you checked it out? I encourage you to go and look. It's so much easier to navigate and look around. We have books there inside the shop. Great products there as well. But don't forget, incredible podcasts and articles by great content creators. They work so hard to give you that information, to give you a different perspective on the things that we see happening in our world and in our country. Some really smart people contribute there. So go check it out at AmericaOutloud.news. We ask you to please share it while you're there. My name is Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight and every night. Or if you happen to find us on a podcast, thank you very much for doing that as well. I mentioned last night about the Senate races and how important they are, and some low-hanging fruit there. Really important races in the Senate coming up in this 24 election. But don't forget, there are 435 congressional races in the House of Representatives. Every 2 years, we have to go through it. The Republicans right now hold on to that narrow margin in the House, and it would be great to pick up a few more seats, wouldn't it? A little more cushion, 15, 20 would be awesome, but it's a tough road. It's a tough road ahead. Let's take a look at one particular race here in the next couple of segments, and I want to introduce you to a person that is running in this race. He ran in 2022 midterm against Norma Torres, and I'm talking about Congressional District 35 in California. Specifically, I'm talking about Mike Cargill, and he's going to join us in just a minute. When you look at the makeup of California, there are a whole lot more conservatives there than you may imagine. And in this district, District 35, there are some hot button topics going on. There is child trafficking. There is school issues. That's happening in this area. This is in Chino County, California, specifically District 35. And now we're going to welcome into the program Mike Cargill. Mike, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Well, let's start in Chino County School District. It's right there in your backyard, and that would be an area that you represent should you win the election coming up in 2024. And we just saw that the judge recently made a decision. Why don't you tell everyone what that decision was and what it actually means to people?
Well, the Chino Valley School Board is in San Bernardino County, and this is in the heart of my district. And they had the courage to stand up to the state and say, listen, you're not going to get away with keeping secrets from parents. So the policy was that, you know, you tell these kids certain things, and then it's a secret between the teacher and the kids. And they want to start encouraging kids to transition. But what the school board, the newly elected school board member said was, that's not going to fly on our watch. So they crafted a policy that said that these mandatory reporters, the teachers, had 3 days. Once a child said, I want to try this transitioning stuff, you have 3 days to let the parents know what's going on with their child in school. I mean, they tell them if they have a headache, they tell them if they get injured. So why not tell them they want to change genders, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, the policy was to anyone with half a brain. So they say, you know, you got 3 days, you got to let the parents know what's going on with their child. Well, that just didn't fly with Rob Bonta, the Attorney General of California. He sent his people down here. They threatened the school board, had death threats on the school board, and they went to court, and they got a crooked judge in San Bernardino to say, we're going to halt this policy. We're going to stop this policy from going into effect so that the teachers and the children can keep these little secrets between themselves. And so, you know, if you don't think about this, you're going to miss the main point here. And that's first they sexualize the children, and then the children want to experiment. They tell them, try this stuff out. Try it with your friends and all this stuff. And the kids do. And then they say, well, you know, wasn't that fun? Maybe you should try in a different gender. And the kid goes, well, okay. But the thing is we all have this little thing called a conscience. And we know when something's wrong and right. And they say, you know, if my parents find out about this, they're going to kill me. And they go, well, your parents don't have to find out about it. This is going to be our little secret. And that's wrong. But that's where we are right now, that they're allowing the teachers to be secret keepers. But we have two pieces of legislation, and there's more up to bat in Sacramento, that tell us where this is really headed. So what they want to do is take the school psychologist and say, you know what? That home looks like an unsafe environment now because they're not accepting this child's decision. Basically, they want the children to run the house. So if the parents say, I disagree with this decision of my little 10-year-old, then we're not going to let this children go back to this home because we think it's unsafe. And there's legislation that would allow the state of California and Child Protective Services to take that child and never place them back in their home, but to put them under the care of Child Protective Services and put them into the foster care program or whatever else they have in mind for these kids. The thing here is once that child hits the CPS or the foster care program, it's most likely they're going to be trafficked. And the parents will never see these kids again. And if they do, it's not going to be the same kid that they took from you. And that's terrible. What I just described to you is happening and it's horrible. But let me tell you, that's not the worst part. The worst part is they took this fight and they moved it into the court system. And this tells me what they're doing and where they want to go. Because once they can establish a legal precedent for removing your child simply by deeming it an unsafe environment, now what is an unsafe environment? And now we go to redefining terms. Well, is there a gun in the house? Well, that's an unsafe environment. Take the kids. Mm-hmm. Are there people who are unvaccinated? Well, that's an unsafe environment. Let's take the kids. Are there people who have religious intolerance to our ideology? Well, that's an unsafe environment. Are there any racists in the house? Well, of course, let's take those kids. So what they're after is a mechanism that allows them to remove children or kidnap children by deeming the household unsafe. And once they've achieved that here, you can see that it's going to be rolled out in Florida. It's going to be rolled out in Texas and Arizona and Tennessee and Michigan and Pennsylvania, because they take California as a test kitchen. They try all this stuff out here. When they figure it out, then they federalize it. So we can either fight it here right now, or we can wait for it to arrive in Miami. But it's coming.
I think a lot of people that are listening to this are probably thinking and feeling the way I am right now, which is when you say the things that you just did about taking kids, and you wonder, how in the world did we ever get here? You know, our parents now don't have a say in children's lives, and they're making laws so that that's the case. And one thing that you said a few minutes ago that I kind of want to go back to just for a second, you mentioned that the secret, and as a parent, you know, one of the things I always did with my kids is teach them that we don't have secrets. We don't have secrets with each other. And we need to be honest with each other. And so now these kids go to school, and the school is teaching them the exact opposite of what I think a good parent would do in teaching a kid that we don't have secrets about things. It's nuts.
It's nuts, but it's designed to destroy the family. See, this is a wedge that's being driven between children and their parents. And then the state wants custody of your kids because there's an enormous appetite to get them into the CPS, Child Protective Services, under that umbrella, whether it's foster care or some other program. But they want the kids out of the house, and they want to be in charge with them, in charge of them. And this is an enormous multi-billion dollar industry in trafficking children. Doesn't all have to be sexually trafficked, but they will place them in programs where they're literally slaves. Mm-hmm. There's an enormous market for this. It's big, big money, and they're after your kids.
Mike, let's move on to a couple of different areas in California that I think in the rest of the country we see happening, like defund the police. We see George Soros DAs. We see a crime rate going up in places like Los Angeles and San Francisco. We see stores moving out of those cities because of smash and grab. What are your thoughts on all those things? Is there any solution for California? And one thing I try to remind people is there are 5.3 million registered Republicans in that state, which is more Republicans in that state than a lot of red states that we consider red states have in total. And so that's a lot of conservatives there, but is it enough to turn the tide? Is there any turning the tide in California for all the things that we see when it comes to the Soros DAs, when it comes to high crime, and when it comes to, you know, the trans movement, all these things that are just crazy when for us in the country, the rest of us in flyover country, we watch this and we go, what is happening? Is there any hope for California?
Absolutely. Absolutely. California went hard for Donald Trump. California, if you look at the state as a whole, is a red state. Mm-hmm. It's being dictated to by three major areas, Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco. And in the state of California, in the last midterm election, nearly half the votes for the entire state came from Los Angeles. That's how big an impact, because Los Angeles is the largest country population size in the United States, and it literally dictates the future of California. And so that's the center of corruption is really Los Angeles, California. But there's a lot of hope here because the rest of the state is red. I mean, it's the breadbasket of the country. Mm-hmm. The food you get on your table in Louisiana probably came from California, at least the nuts. I mean, I'm talking about the edible kind. but the state itself is an amazing state full of wonderful conservative people. And it's these pockets of liberalism. You know, those three counties or those three cities, we have nearly half the nation's homeless in California. Because what they're doing, it's like the military industrial complex. Well, out here, they're building the homeless industrial complex. And this is a test run for the outcome of the country. They're trying out this communist agenda where they strip you of everything you own. They tell you what to wear on your face, on your body, what you eat, what you drive. And once they figured this out here, primarily Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento, then you're going to see this rolled out around the country. That's the basis of these 15-minute cities you're hearing talk about. This is all coming. So we have to Seriously, the snake is California, but if we can cut the head off, we'll save the country. I believe there is a lot of hope here. Here's the real reason this is occurring, and it's been at the hands of both political parties: election fraud. The people of California don't vote to tax themselves into oblivion. The people of California hate the crime and the homelessness. They do. They hate it. But it's being forced on them by a corrupt election system. And the people that are making these sick bills in Sacramento were not elected. They were selected.
What about the 2020 election? Do you think it was stolen from Donald Trump?
I know it was stolen. It was stolen from him, and it was stolen from me. I can show you in my district, in this race, how they rigged the machines on night one. Because remember, out here, they have 30 days. This is all that COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, in California, you get your ballot 30 days before the election, and then they count the ballots 30 days after the election. So we don't have an election day. We have an election season, a two-month season. If that's not, you know, room for fraud, I don't know what is.
Sure. Yeah, they just have to figure out how many votes they need to beat you, and then they get them when you have that much time.
Yes. That's what happened in 2022. 8 days after they figured out what they needed, and my opponent got a huge ballot dump. But in 2020, on night one, they rigged the ratio. They set the ratio at 70-30 for my race. And then no matter how many updates, how many ballots they counted for the next month, whether I got 5,000 or 10,000 at a count, my opponent got just enough to keep it exactly at 70-30 for 18 straight updates. That's mathematically impossible.
Yeah. Now, every once in a while it would have to be 50-50, 60-40, 45-55, but 70-30 always in her favor. Yeah, that doesn't happen. It is mathematically impossible.
It is. And I have 18 screenshots of updates, and it never deviated.
Mike, we've spent some time in California, but I think as a candidate for the 35th Congressional District in California, it's important for people to hear you address some of those issues that we just did. But I also want to address some issues that we have in our country, because if you go to the U.S. House of Representatives, that's where you'll be working. And you have to work with some people that maybe have a different way of thinking there inside the Beltway. What do you think, just as an outsider right now looking in, are the biggest problems with Washington, D.C., and specifically in the Congress?
Well, the Congress has been corrupted, I believe, wholeheartedly by the deep state right now. I believe we have a lot of members of both parties that have been blackmailed and have been leveraged in how they vote. Because there's just no rationality, unless you understand what's really going on, like in Ukraine. Why are we sending $100 billion plus $130 billion to Ukraine when we have this enormous homeless problem you just talked about? And we have a porous, literally non-existent southern border. Why would you send all this money unless you understand that there's a giant money laundering operation going on? And this is why you'll see never impeach Joe Biden, because that would blow the smoke off of what's really going on. If you're going to look at what's going on in Ukraine, you're going to see where the money's going that both parties have now washed through Ukraine back into their pockets. So I think we have so much corruption right there.
And Mike, I want you to hang on to that thought there for just a minute. We're up against a break. We're going to take that now here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I told you about a new journey that I'm taking on my health. And that journey I'm taking is with HealRight. And they are metabolic bars, and they taste fantastic. They come in four different types of flavors. I haven't found one that I dislike. And I have a couple that I really, really do like. They taste like a candy bar. One of them even has a chocolate covering on it. I think that's the cherry chocolate pomegranate. I've talked about that before. I would love for you to join me on this journey for better health. We're going to lower our cholesterol, our triglycerides. And this bar is great for weight management, too. Who doesn't need that? We all could. Just go to HealRight.com to find out more about this product. Or you can go to AmericaOutloud.news, go inside the shop. And wherever you go, either one of those, make sure you use the promo code OUTLOUD and you'll get a 20% discount. Take care of yourself. Join me on this journey. Heal from within at HealRight.com. with the promo code OUTLOUD.
More The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in minutes on America Out Loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms. But left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, it will be Unleash the Political News Hour at 8, the National Security Hour, and then at 9 o'clock, and every night at 9 Eastern, it is After Dark with Robin Andrew. Stick around for those programs. They are on the way. My name is Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told. We are visiting with Mike Cargile. He is running for District 35 in the state of California against Norma Torres, who currently holds the seat, who beat him in the 22 midterm. Mike's been discussing some big ideas, some big Republican Party problems, and other things that are going on in California and the district. And I really want to concentrate now more about the things that you're looking at now, Mike. What specifically are you thinking about going into this race and the election in 24, which, by the way, he just won the Super Tuesday just on March 5th. So, Mike, what are you looking for right now?
I'm looking at the race I'm involved with, the people that are here. And I believe that the race I'm in is the most important race in the United States, specifically with child trafficking. We have seen whistleblower testimony that fingers the lady I'm trying to unseat as being a part of a network.
Yeah, let's get into that just a minute since you're here, because you and I had a conversation about this several weeks ago about Rodas, Tara Rodas, who was the whistleblower that testified in Congress. She was specifically talking about your area when she testified, wasn't she?
Yes. She was the number two at this intake facility at a place called the Fairplex at Pomona. It's about 2 miles from my house, and my opponent can see it from her house. And my opponent's name is Norma Torres. And Norma Torres worked with Javier Becerra and some others, and they set up an intake facility here. And then they flew thousands and thousands, nearly 10,000 kids from the border, and they processed them through this intake facility. Now, Tara Rodas, who you just mentioned, thought she was there to help children. What she saw, though, was a completely different story. She saw children being trafficked, flown all over the United States by the Biden administration. And at the same time, our friend James O'Keefe was doing an investigation into the same facility, and they were following the children once they were flown out, where they were winding up. And we had kids winding up in terrible, terrible, terrible situations. But what they noticed is most of the kids that they were tracking were from Guatemala. And that's the key. Remember, Guatemala. And then Tara Rodas said, why on earth are we bringing all these kids? And she was tracking nearly $1 billion moving through the Fairplex in a six-month period. But the kids, they didn't speak Spanish and they didn't speak English. They spoke a Mayan dialect and no one could understand their cries for help, what they were going through. But she said they were all from this area, Barrias, Guatemala. And they couldn't, she and her friends could not figure out why this was occurring until I told both of them, have you looked at the federal representative for our area? And they said, oh my gosh. I said, yes, because Norma Torres is from Barrias, Guatemala.
So there's the connection.
Set this facility up, yes. And there's pictures of Tara Rodas with Representative Norma Torres at this facility. And she said there were MS-13 gang members coming and picking up kids. They dropped all the requirements to be a quote-quote sponsor for thousands and thousands, to the point now the Biden administration says they've lost track of 85,000 plus kids. But Tara, I just talked to Tara a couple weeks ago, and she said the border of Texas, all those holding facilities, the kids are still all from Guatemala. And I said, that's because Representative Torres just helped rig the presidential election in Guatemala. So a socialist is now the president of Guatemala, working hand in glove with the Biden administration to make sure this funneling of children and women keeps going on.
So, Mike, you're a California guy. Another California guy is Kevin McCarthy. You mentioned him a few minutes ago. Last week, I did a show on giving him a grade, pass or fail. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but overall, would you support him as speaker right now, or if you had an opportunity to vote for him if you win the election? And would you vote for him as speaker if you get elected?
No.
Okay.
No, I've seen too much now of how he operates and the people around him operate. Everything from the debt ceiling to how we're handling things around the world to how we're handling things in California. See, the problem is I am a Republican, and that's, I know that may seem odd at first, but I am a true Republican, which means I'm conservative. And the people who are running the party right now are not conservative. They're libertarian, and they're trying to change the party, and they're trying to remove the values and the morals that made this party great. So I would be at odds with him and anyone like him, because I do believe that the best days in this country are ahead of us, but they're only if we get back to the values and the traditions that made us great. I mean, the California Republican Party was the home of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
You know, that's who we are. That's our legacy. So if we don't get back there, we don't have a future.
I noticed in your bio that you said you are a Reagan Republican. And I would consider myself a Reagan Republican. He was the first president I ever voted for. Define that for me. What does that mean to you?
To me, a Reagan Republican is not only what I just said, a traditional conservative, but there's an aura of statesmanship about him. And if there was one thing I would hope that President Trump has moving forward is more of that statesmanlike quality.
Yeah.
And then the ability to take complex issues and to distill them into simple terms where we can all understand them and then decide to agree or not to disagree or to disagree on an issue. But he was called the great communicator for a reason, and that was because he didn't think he was above anyone or below anyone, but his take on things was just in the way that the common man should perceive this issue, and now let's deal with it in that light.
Now, let's talk about the Republican Party. You brought them up, so since you brought them up, I'm going to ask a question or two. I have an opportunity to speak and have a conversation on this program quite a bit with people running for office. You know that I spoke to James Bradley a few weeks ago in a program. I've had Michael Hoover, who is also running for Senate out of Michigan. And one thing that it seems to come up with a lot of these candidates is they are not getting any help whatsoever from the Republican Party. Are you getting any help in your race, or and what's your strategy in your race? How do these candidates, these American First candidates across the country, that it doesn't seem like the Republican Party wants to help them? How do they get help from the Republican Party?
Well, they're not going to, if they're anticipating help from the Republican Party, they're going to be let down, grossly let down, because the Republican Party only supports candidates that will toe the line. And this, it all ties together. There was, you remember who Sam Bankman-Fried was?
Sure. Yeah.
FTX.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kevin McCarthy used many millions of dollars from FTX to make sure that the right people got through the primaries in the midterms. This is all intertwined. So if you're a traditional conservative Republican, you can count on zero help from the Republican Party, which means we have to turn to people like the people listening to this show right now and say, if you want change, you're going to have to support my race directly, because if you give it to the Republican Party, they're not going to help me. And what they've done in California is they only support the candidates who bend the knee to the transgender agenda. And this is the key. Every single elected official in California has bent the knee to the transgender agenda. And you might say, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. I don't care.
Yeah, good for you.
I'm the only candidate in the United States for the U.S. Congress who has been unendorsed twice by the Republican Party for being too conservative. I have stood up for the last 3 years for the biblical definition of marriage, the support of the nuclear family, and this, I stand wholeheartedly against this transgender agenda and this CRT telling kids that their skin color is going to dictate their future. And that's been a bridge too far for the Republican leadership, not the party, but the leadership. And this is where we have to really focus, is who's leading this party. And I'm saying they're not Republicans. We've been infiltrated by the Libertarian Party, and they are now trying to remove. If you hear the term fiscal Republican or the term rhino, you should read that as libertarian. So they're trying to change our party. They're trying to remove the values and the traditions that have been the foundation of our party since its inception.
Mike, I was going to ask you to give a stump speech for that person that's listening to this program right there in your district, but I think you just did it. And so I think you did a great job right there. And the other thing I'm going to ask you as we close out this half hour of the program, I'm going to ask you to tell everyone where they can help you. You mentioned the Republican Party is not going to do it. You mentioned to help the candidates directly. Give everybody your website where they can read what your agenda is, what you stand for, and also where they can donate to you.
My website is CargileForCongress.com. That's CargileFor, CargileForCongress.com. My name is Mike Cargile. If you just put in Mike Cargile, no spaces, .com, it's going to take you to the same place. And if you can't remember who that guy was on the air with Booker, then just, I've got the cheesiest catchphrase in the country. When I speak to groups, I say, smile is Cargyle. And they laugh and they never forget me. So smile, it's Cargyle, Cargyle for Congress. And I'm the guy. I'm the flashpoint, the epicenter on taking back this country, because the Latino community is embracing me like they've done no other, because I stand for the values, our family values that unite us.
And a special thank you to Mike Cargyle for joining us here. Good luck to him in the District 35 race in California coming up in November of this year. Hopefully he'll win that race. He's got his hands full. He knows that. But he has a great message, doesn't he? You know, there are a lot of races just like that. A lot of people looking for your support running in these 435 races in the House of Representatives. Make sure you do your part, too, by vetting and taking a look at these candidates. Who should you vote for? It's never too early to start that process. In fact, I would suggest that now is the time to start that process if you haven't already. He was talking about the Republican Party there, and we saw last night, or yesterday afternoon, I guess, that the Republican Party had a shakeup. It looks like they exited about 60 people, I guess. Laura Trump came in as a co-chair just last week. She won that election, and they have already started making those changes in the Republican Party. And I think that's good news. The Republican Party has, as you heard Mike talk, they really haven't been much help to a lot of candidates around the country. So hopefully there are things changing now in the Republican National Committee. And it was great to see. Coming up next, it is Unleash the Political News Hour. It's a great program. Stick around for it. And then at 9 o'clock tonight, it's After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Tomorrow night on this program, we will have our town hall. I call it a pulse of the people. We'll go live into that Twitter space, that X space, to hear what you're thinking about. And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter or X, you can do that. You can follow me at Real Booker Scott is my handle on X. So please give me a follow there. I would love to see you there. And then that gives you the opportunity to come and talk to us inside the Pulse of the People, which is coming up tomorrow night. My name is Booker Scott. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth. And salt without flavor, it has no value. It's worthless. So keep being salty. Have a great night.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.